Good morning. Welcome to Wildflower Church, and thank you, Jason, for the sacred music of REM this morning. I'd like to start with these words from June Jordan, South African, Caribbean American poet, from her poem, South African Women. Sing and sing back into the mountains, and if necessary, even under the sea. We are the ones we have been waiting for. I invite you to rise in body and or spirit for hymn number 188 in your gray hymnal, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. And Lori and Michelle are going to lead us in a round after we sing it in unison the first time. We'll get fancy and we'll sing it in a round after that.
My son, Liam, will be lighting the chalice for us this morning. Please join us in the words to the chalice lighting, which are printed in your order of service. With the kindling of this flame, we affirm our commitment to accept life's gifts with grace and gratitude and use them to bless the world in the spirit of love. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sharon Laidlaw, and I am the lay worship leader this morning. We welcome you to Wildflower Church, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. Sharing space with welcoming, loving Christian neighbors means that some of their worship symbols, like this cross, adorn our sanctuary. However, Unitarian Universalists are encouraged to develop a personal philosophy of life without being told what to believe. We do draw inspiration from the Judeo-Christian tradition, but also from philosophy and other religions, from science and the arts, from history and popular culture, and from nature. Our seven principles found on the back of the order of service unite us in support of each other in both successes and setbacks as we actively shape the world for the better. As we begin our worship service today, please note that if you would like to use an assisted hearing device, you can step out to the foyer and one of our greeters will help you. We want to extend a special welcome to our first-time and returning visitors. After the service, please join us for refreshments and conversation in the community room, which is down the ramp to your left as you exit the sanctuary. Now, let's take a moment to say hello to those around us, especially those we may not know very well. Please join me in reciting the unison reading found in the order of service. It's an excerpt from The Task of Religious Community by Mark Morrison Reed, a Canadian Unitarian Universalist. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed.
Thank you to the choir for the gift of your music today. I'd like to invite the children and anyone who would like to be closer to come on up for the time for all ages. Welcome back. Come on up and have a seat. I have some things to show you today that I'm really, really excited to show you. So while you're coming up, thank you. I'm going to tell you something. So I'm working to become the thing that I want to be when I grow up. I'm right in the last stage of becoming a minister, which is something I wanted to be when I grew up. And I started out as a journalist, So a lot of the things that I do as a minister relate to what's going on in the world. They relate to the news. They relate to that part of who I am that I'm bringing into being a minister. I wonder, do any of you guys have any ideas about what you want to be when you grow up? I'll just take maybe three or four. What about you, Lux? Yes, he's interested in policing, but he's thinking maybe firefighting because he doesn't like the gun part of being a police officer. I think that is a really wise discernment, Lux. Thank you. Let's see. How about you? What are you thinking of?
Fashion designer.
Well, I love fashion, so I can't wait to wear what you design. Yes. An Olympic swimmer. Oh, that's a good one. I was just thinking yesterday would have been a nice day for a swim. Let's take two more right here. A church teacher? That's awesome. We need more church teachers, guys. Perfect, perfect. You did go swimming yesterday. I want to take one more from this side, and then will you tell me in coffee hour, will you come up and tell me, and will you tell the other people at our church, since we can't do them all now, what's yours?
I want to be a teacher.
A teacher. That's wonderful. So hold in your heart the things that you're thinking, and let's take that conversation out to coffee hour after class. All right, so what I want to tell you guys about is a little bit of the heritage, not just my own, but that we all bring heritage to our work, to our calling, to our lives. Hey, Ira, will you talk to me about it in coffee hour? Okay. So I found something recently. And what this is something that an immigrant from my family brought to the United States. It's what's called Red Letter Testament. And I found it at my grandmother's house recently, and it says, presented to Charlie Saunders by his affectionate brother Albert Saunders on the occasion of his 15th birthday, August 5th, 1905, with the wish that he may read it often with meditation and prayer. And this family member of mine, this is my great-grandfather, he and his brother immigrated to Texas from Wales, which is not far from England. If you've seen England on the map, Wales is not very big. They were immigrants that came here, and my great-grandfather, I found out, grew up to be a Methodist minister. And I didn't know that. I thought I was going to be the first minister in my family, but I'm not. So that was exciting to me, to think about the ways that people have come to this country from my family, and to think about the ways that they've been blazing a trail. There are also people in Unitarian Universalism who are blazing a trail. There was a woman named Carrie Bartlett, who was one of, you need to tell me, can you please hold it, and then we'll talk in a little bit, okay? Thanks, Lux. So she was a newspaper journalist before she became a Unitarian Universalist minister. Peter Morales, you guys, who's the president of Unitarian Universalist Association, used to be a newspaper journalist in Texas. So it's really fun when we learn about who our people are, a little bit about who came before. And so what I did, in studying to be a minister, some of us have made trading cards, UU history minister and lay leader trading cards and teacher trading cards. And so I'm going to give some to you. But they've got information about some of the folks who came before us and where they came from. And you're going to be able to look at them with your parents and talk about them. But I picked a few that are my favorite. So some of you who maybe didn't get to answer my question before, Evan, will you pull one out and then hand it to me and I'll tell you. Pick a card, any card, and I'll tell you. Evan's going to answer real quick. Looks. Let's see. Who'd you pull? Can I see? Thank you. That's Caroline Bartlett, the one that I just told you about. She was a Unitarian minister in the late 1800s, early 1900s. She fought for the women's right to vote. She did become a minister, even though people told her they didn't think that as a woman she should go to Meadville Lombard, which is my seminary, but she eventually did. Thanks for pulling that one, Evan. That's Caroline Bartlett Crane. Would you like to pull one? One more. Piper, would you like to pull one? Because I saw your hand in the back. You want to pull a card? Pick a Unitarian Universalist, any Unitarian Universalist. Ooh, can I see it? Let's see. She pulled Martha Sharp. Does anybody know about Waitstill and Martha Sharp? These folks went over to help Jews escape Nazi persecution during the Holocaust. And the quote from Martha is, "What are you going to do that is important in your life?" And I think that's one of the most important religious questions that we're asking ourselves all the time. You guys know Superman, right? I'm just going to show you. There's Christopher Reeve. He's one. He was an actor, and he played Superman. And then here's one more that I want to read you that has my favorite quote. Let's see. Where did it go? Hosea Ballou, famous universalist, who said, "Doubt is the incentive to truth, and inquiry leads the way." It is. It is a boy. There's a lot of what we talk about that has to do with sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we're just curious. As a kid, you guys are so good at being curious. And I want you to keep that and help those of us who sometimes forget how to be curious to ask questions. So if I hand some of these out to you to take with you to learn about who are the people that came before us, the immigrants and the leaders and the people who blazed a trail, will you take some and maybe talk with your families about them later? Let me know what you found out. Sound good? All right. Come on up, and we'll be singing the kids out, and I'll be handing out a few to everybody on their way out. Go ahead. Thank you for listening, and have fun learning about our people. That's okay. Hand some to your friends if you get extra.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Ignatowski. I'm president of the board at Wildflower. And as our long-standing custom on most weekends, I have no executive orders to announce this morning. However, we do take pride in being a very active community here, and a partial list of upcoming events is in the insert in your order of service. You may want to take a look at that. We'd like to take moments every now and then to highlight a few special events and to make sure all our guests and visitors know that they are more than welcome to attend any of these that they find interesting. Yesterday, we had a wonderful party here with live music and desserts, much of which is now left over in terms of the desserts. So as you go to the coffee hour after service, be aware that besides the healthy food, there's going to be a lot of desserts, a lot of chocolate-themed food over there. It's either an invitation or a warning, as you want to take it. I also want to point out that under tax law, churches are not supposed to be campaigning for or against a specific candidate. However, it's perfectly acceptable and encouraged for religious communities to get involved in lobbying for issues that are important to them. And once every 2 years, all the UU groups in Texas come together for a capital lobbying day, and that's going to happen this coming Wednesday. For those of you who have already signed up for this, check your email. You should get information about the details. If you have not signed up for this, but you're in Austin and you've never had a chance to lobby your legislature before, and you want to go together in a group of people so you don't feel uncomfortable too much, this is the time to do it. Please see me afterwards, and I'll see if you can sneak you in somewhere. There's lots of other things coming up. Next Friday is a Serenity service with a really interesting set of musical instruments that will be played there. I'm really looking forward to that. And right after service today, there's a special presentation on information on immigration, and I want to bring John up to talk a little bit more about that.
Hi, so David Walding, who's here, is the executive director of the Bernardo Kohler Center, and their charter is to help undocumented people receive protection and documentation. I got to know David because one of the kids that I counsel asked me if he could be deported, which is pretty heartbreaking, at 17, having been here since he was 3. And through David's efforts, he and 5 of his brothers and sisters are all receiving documentation. The one thing that I... The one thing that I just want to take 60 seconds to say, because not everybody will be able to attend the talk that David is doing at 1:15 after the coffee hour, and that's scheduled to go an hour, it can go longer if people have more questions, is that what I discovered through David is that if you're an undocumented person under 18, there's a quite easy path that costs almost nothing, that does not involve the immigration authorities, that results in full documentation. And one of the things David shared with me is one of his frustrations is often people click over to 19 and they didn't know they could have done that, and now it's harder. And after 21, it's essentially no longer possible to use this easy method. So just know that. All of us know someone who could use that information, or maybe some of us here could use that information for ourselves. So 1:15 after coffee hour, David Walding, who is wonderful, and you'll enjoy. Please join us. Thank you.
One important way we support our wildflower community is by uniting our financial resources, which we do now through our offering. Please give as generously as you are able. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, however, please let the basket pass, as your presence here is gift enough. Thank you in advance for your generosity.
All blessings on your gifts, and all blessings on you, the givers. The offering is one way we show the power of the people, as we sang in the song last week by Patti Smith. It's our power doing our work as we see fit. Thank you for your generosity. Would you join me now in the spirit of prayer, contemplation, or just silence? Spirit of life, love, all that is sacred to everyone here. If there is a joy in this room today, let it not go unspoken. Let it not go unsung. Let that joy find a home in another as we share this time together. If there is a pain or a fear, let no one hold it alone. May we all be surrounded in the knowledge that this community is ours, and love fills our container, overflows until we serve it from the saucer of our cup that runneth over. I know there are many personal joys and sorrows in the sanctuaries of our heart today. I lift those in prayer, in hope. In the words of Episcopal priest Nadia Boltz Weber, you are a mess and you are loved. You have a little issue with anger and you are loved. I've not even known you that long and you are loved. The thing you are experiencing right now seems so big, but what is bigger is that you are loved. May we enter into a time of sacred silence, knowing that the sounds of children or our bodies counts as sacred too. As we come out of the silence, I invite you to lift up the name of anyone you are holding on your heart, someone who may be a support to you or someone whom you may want to support. For all our prayers spoken and unspoken, we say amen and blessed be. As we remain seated, would you join in singing hymn 1053 in your teal, as I will always call it, the journey hymnal, How Could Anyone?
Today we're talking about the concept of a liberal religion. My sweet mom was a former nun, so I was raised Catholic, and I have an unusual coming to liberal religion story. When I was 22, a friend of a friend hooked me up with a summer temp job in Boston at a place with a cult-like name, the Unitarian Universalist Association. Temp jobs tend to run like that, I figured. I was to work in the religious education department, word processing documents they only had paper copies of. The first one they handed me was called, this is true, What Do We Tell Our Children About God? Instead of the rules and regulations kind of script that I was used to from religion, this religion seemed fine with complete uncertainty. For the first time, I felt like I had permission to acknowledge all the skepticism I had secretly harbored in my heart whenever a religion told me it had all the answers. You can imagine, without even knowing exactly what it said, that it blew my mind. After devouring that essay and many more, I was completely hooked on Unitarian Universalism. But I have to say that I can't remember a single concept presented in that essay under that titillating title. And that is our challenge in being part of a liberal religion. The elevator speech is complicated. Whatever was in that essay, we know there was no easy answer. No Unitarian Universalist creed will tell me exactly what to tell my children to believe. I'm expected to guide them on their own open-ended, responsible search for truth and meaning, with the support of our wildflower community and informed by wisdom from across space and time. On the other hand, my mom's traditional, innocent Catholicism was a much simpler path. She knew things. She knew that God was first and foremost a very old man. Thousands of years of mostly consistent art and stories showed that he had long white hair and a beard, and he liked to sit on a throne surrounded by creatures of human form. There was the Holy Spirit, who could be visualized as a dove or breath, and of course, God's Son, also God, Jesus. If I began to doubt any of this, I was told that faith was the gift of the strong and willing. Just believe it completely with no proof. The message I got was that the more I was okay with not having proof, the holier I actually was. Life is messy, so I can understand the instinct to join a club that gives you specifics, like the length of God's hair, or the exact number of levels of hell, or exactly what to do and say in a time of crisis. When I was 9, I lost a new watch I had just been given for my birthday. My mom helped me look all over the house for it. I was frantic, but she remained calm. When we ended our search empty-handed, she took me up to my room and set me on my knees. I was to pray 9 Hail Marys to Saint Anthony, the patron saint of lost items. I knelt by my bed, my knobby knees pressing painfully into the hardwood floor, and said my prayers as she instructed. This many years later, I'm still reluctant to admit that Mrs. Delinsky called us within the hour to say she had found the watch in her house after my visit with her daughter the day before. How wonderful to have such a clear course of action, even in the face of a lost watch. So much easier to play the game when you believe the rules are that specific. So sometimes I envied the security the rules brought my mom. Her faith brought her comfort when she was dying. She was certain that when she died, she would be reunited with her husband, her long-lost mother, and even old pets. I am sure she envisioned everyone in white running joyfully through the clouds. I sometimes wish I could retreat to the days when I had that kind of certainty. On the day after the election, when I was struggling to make sense of how the oppression of others could be elevated to that level, I came here in tears to be with my wildflower community. And I dropped to my knees in supplication like I had when I was 9. Humbled and feeling tiny and weak and contrite for every possible bad thing I might have done that could have shared responsibility for recent events, I begged, please give me strength. Please make me a better person. Please make me your servant of love and goodness in the coming years. I begged someone. When I feel my weakest, I long for the days when I could imagine crawling into God the Father's lap. But there's something paradoxically empowering in knowing that as Unitarian Universalists, we are our own ultimate authorities on our spiritual beliefs. I found that I don't really need to know who I'm praying to, whether it's an old man on a throne, Mother Earth, my inner sage, or the energy of love in the community around me. I can turn toward the representation of the divine that helps me be my best self at any given moment. And my questioning or doubting, regarded as lapses of faith in my mom's tradition, are a sign that I'm doing exactly the work I should be doing on a Unitarian Universalist path.
Thank you, Sharon. Faith without certainty. That's our topic today, and I have a brief reading for you from this book by Unitarian Universalist minister and scholar Paul Raiser. Liberal theology is not for the faint at heart. It points us in a general direction without telling us the specific destination. It refuses to make our commitments for us, but holds us accountable for those commitments. The liberal religious tradition is an invitation, not a mandate. It invites us to live with ambiguity, engage in dialogue without trying to control the conversation, calls us to strength without rigidity, openness without laziness. It asks us to pay attention. Spirit of life, hear my cry. I want to write a normal sermon, but my heart is stubborn. It has been dragging me back and forth from friend to friend, from bed to computer to fresh air and back for 2 weeks on this topic of faith without certainty. From tears to laughter to tears, until finally an understanding awakens. I need, as Raiser said, to pay attention. And my heart does not want a sermon today. My heart longs for a lamentation. But what is that? A lamentation. This heart was raised Unitarian Universalist all the way back. Humanist, sometimes atheist, sometimes no words for it at all. Unitarian Universalist, through and through. And we did not do lamentations when I was growing up in church. What is that sacred practice again? Someone taught me in seminary last year. The Reverend Derek Jackson, also a Unitarian Universalist, brought this to us, to our seminary class, from Out of the Depths by Bernard Anderson, and it felt like a spiritual practice lifeline to me, something I'd been waiting for. Because no matter how joy-centered I am, and I am joy-centered, there is a season for everything. And for many of us, myself included, this is a season of lament. When times are hard, when one of my patients in Oakland, California, back when I was a hospital chaplain, when one of them was dying, when my children desperately need to sleep but just want to holler and throw things at me, in times like those, in a time when I think it is so important to become a minister in a faith without certainty, even though it feels terrifying, it is time for the heart to release a lamentation. So here's how it works. And I'm going to share it with you because anyone can do it. And don't get me wrong, lamentation is not the same as desperation. We are not here to be desperate. We are here to release what the heart and body have come to hold, so that we may be full again with whatever joy, with whatever purpose we are seeking. So this spiritual art form names and releases. You address your complaint to someone, to something, even if you're not sure who it is. You just make a complaint, and you name that complaint. You confess your trust, however uncertain. And you can make this the you kind of trust. Work with it in your own words when it's your turn. petition for a solution, the lament writers tell us to do, okay? So you go big. This is what Reverend Jackson told us. You go big. This is not the time for small favors. This is not the time to think about what's possible, what you think we can accomplish. In a lamentation, you know that the universe can handle it, whatever you're going to throw. And then this is important. At the end, we express confidence that this prayer has been heard, and we end our lament with gratitude. That's it. No promise to fix it. We are big on fixing it, right? Not today. No promise to fix it. Beware those in power who say they are the one who can fix it. Whether it be a minister. Brian and I don't want to be on the pedestal. We don't want to be the ones in charge of fixing it. Let go of that. And let's trust the universe to be a compassionate listener, the way Thich Nhat Hanh described when we talked about anger. Now, before I get into my lament, what about those of you who are having a great day? I don't want to bring you down. My heart says, what about you guys? And the wise teachers say, trust. Trust those of you who are joyful, not to borrow sorrow. Hold your joy close when someone else is lamenting. Because on a future day, when you need to lament, I'm going to hold my joy close, and I'm going to listen for you. And we know that at any given time, this is all going on in our community. Every day, there's lamentation, there's joy, there's celebration, there's loss. So we take turns in these parts. We bear witness. Spirit of life, hear my cry. I didn't quite tell the truth before. The problem is not the sermon or my heart. The problem is the world. Suffering has always been more for some than for others. That is not new. And yet, I come to you to name some problems of the now. Immigration officers, ICE, come for our neighbors, our students, our friends, our husbands and wives, parents, us. Officials tell us that this is routine. But we know our communities. We know what is routine. 44 people detained in 2 days in Austin is not the same as 4 or 5. The powers that be would sometimes gaslight us, tell us that there is more than one truth, and it is infuriating. Our people are angry and scared, even as we are also happy and blessed. And then we are told to calm down. Our paperwork is just a few weeks away. A year. Just hang tight. One more year. Be patient. Trust the system. How many deportations will it take to bring back jobs that are not coming back? How many families scapegoated and torn apart? To fix crime that is not about those families. How many people must die in the desert trying to walk back to the only home they've ever known? Spirit of life, hear my cry. This is just a peace. And this is the peace on my heart with my people. I lament that I only scratch the surface of what must be named, and that there is also personal suffering to lament: divorce, addiction, grief, illness, loneliness, lack of purpose. So much crying out, even as yes, joy, new life, new love. How do we save something for all of that? This is a lament, and I confess it with trust. not certainty, but faith nonetheless. I confess with trust that life will find a way, that we are the ones we have been waiting for, that for as long as people have traveled, immigrants and refugees have made a way out of no way. I confess with deep and abiding faith in our communities that we care for each other. Top down is not the only way to get things done. We know, and I see, the work we are doing that may not be seen from the top. Top down is the power of hierarchy, and we are the power of the people. Change can come from the roots, the stem, the branches, the flowers, the insects, and even the breeze. In spite of all I have said, I would never lament without faith, without love. Faith and love are the heart of any lament, because otherwise, why bother? Why bother? Why come at all? So here is my petition. Every lament needs one. What would be the solution? I'll go big. Spirit of life, I petition that humans fear no humans. That no matter our beliefs, no matter our trauma, we treat each other as expressions of sacred creativity, love, and grace. That we treat the earth and all her creatures as such, too. Spirit of life, let profit and greed release our souls. That the people, that our culture wake up to a sense of enough. Ya basta. There is already enough. With every confidence, I know my prayer has been heard, because I know this community and this love is an expression of all that is highest in my faith. In gratitude and confidence that this lamentation and petition will be acted upon in ways I can never really know. Blessed be, and amen. Thank you. So that was one form of spiritual practice for hard times, a lamentation. And I appreciate you going there with me and trying something new, letting me try something new. Another way that we, as Unitarian Universalists, and especially as Wildflowers, fortify ourselves for times of both joy and struggle is through music. And so you've heard today different kinds of music. We've had quiet music, we've had classical music, we had REM. We try to bring opportunities for everyone to feel that release. And I think that finding a song for yourself when you need it can also be a spiritual practice. So I've asked the choir to do a song with me today that has just been, I've just been wrestling with it, y'all. I've been wrestling with it for so long. It comes from a Christian heritage, and that is my family's larger heritage, but not mine. And so the choir and I have worked on what words would make this a you song, and how can we wrestle with the concept in this song, which is salvation for us. And so what we've been coming around to is the idea of saviors, plural, that we are all here to care for each other. And so some of that we're going to express in this song, and I want to invite you to think about who are the human beings in your life that you would call out to in a time of need, or who are with you on your journey, on your path, whatever path you are on in this life, to think about those people that you reach out to celebrate or to cry to. I know some of them, I see them out here. All right, are we ready to sing? Beautiful. So this is called Oceans. And it's actually by an Australian band originally, and I have family members from Australia, so there's that immigrant piece again. I want to remind myself and remind us who the immigrants are in our lives, and that's another piece of it. But my cousin is also a worship band leader like me. I think There's the religious humanist. I think I'm like a musical humanist is my my Unitarian Universalist thread. And so this is a connection to my own family as well. So thank you guys for giving it a try with me. Oh, it may or may not cooperate. There we go. Do we have a music stand? Can I just use this? Yeah. Awesome. This is Oceans. Are we on? Is it? Okay. You can hear me through this? I don't think so. I don't think this mic is on. Randy. If not, I guess I can try to sing through my preaching mic, but I don't think you want that. All right. Whatever works for the sound. Thank you. And for a little bit of laughter, there it is. I like a church that can laugh and clap and be patient. This is good. I'm using this one. All right, I'm using this one. Well, this means I get to move. And we all know I like to move, right? So that's all right. Okay, would you guys like to, are we going to rise later? Okay. It's faith without certainty, right? Music without certainty. We say in this song, we know we fail and we won't stop now. And that's because we're not putting our faith in someone else to fix it, and we're not saying we won't make a mistake. We know we fail and we won't stop. I love this church so much, and I offer my gratitude to you for trying something with me, because I know that that musical tradition and that religious tradition is not a safe place for everyone. And I appreciate those of you who worked with me to find a sense of that yearning within our tradition. Because what I believe and what I know in myself is that no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, whatever kind of music we play, and you guys, some of you know, I play in a heavy metal band normally. This is outside of my comfort zone too. Whatever kind of music or church we do, I believe that there is a deep human need in the DNA to feel salvation. I feel like it's another word for hope. It's another word for sanctuary. There's something in there. Even if I'm an atheist UU, my people back in Wales, what they were doing, they were thinking about this. Our people back wherever we came from in whatever tradition, we were thinking about why we're here, and we were thinking about what it means and what it means to be together. And so that question for me is, when times are hard, who am I, who are you going to reach to so that we're not doing this alone? And that is the message of our tradition, that we are not doing this alone and that we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to be saved. We do it in a community together. And we're doing this work together. I feel like the Spirit has moved, and I could talk about this for a long time, but I just want to share with you a few more things. When I struggle, when I feel like the waves are rising in my life, whatever that may mean to you, there is someone I turn to, in addition to turning to a song or turning to a tradition like lament. I turn to Sharon Welch, who is a feminist ethicist in the UU tradition, and I want to share some words from her, and then we will sing another song on our way out. Sharon says, "The drive of moral life is we can never know the difference between that which we can change and that which we cannot. Our challenge is to move creatively in a very different sort of adventure, one whose prayer is like this: what improbable task, with which unpredictable results, shall we undertake today?" What improbable task with which unpredictable results? And that's, I think, a lot of our struggle right now. We don't know what the results are going to be. We don't have someone to fix it. And we've seen what can go wrong when you expect someone to fix it. So we together are going to do some unpredictable, improbable things. And we don't know how it's going to end up. And we are going to be there for each other in that work. What then is sanctuary? These are the words of Elie Wiesel. What then is sanctuary? Another word for me for feeling salvation. The sanctuary, he says, is often something very small. Not a grandiose gesture. The sanctuary is human beings. Sanctuary is a dream. And that is why you are here, and that is why I am here. We are here because of one another. In truth, we are each other's shelter. Thank you for the little ways that you are doing that for people now in these times. The embrace that you heard in the song, the phone call that you make to a friend who is struggling, the time that you spend sitting with someone. Thank you for the ways that you are doing that. And please know that asking for that, reaching out to that person you thought of, that is also a saving action. You deserve that support too. Sometimes we just give it away, but we don't ask for it for ourselves. Please ask for what you need to feel that love. All right. It has really been a beautiful day to be with you, and thank you for letting me try on some things with you, some new practices. I would like to know what your song might be that you might wrestle with in a hard time. I would like to know what your spiritual practice might be when you're struggling, and I hope you will come and share that with me and talk with me a little bit. And maybe we'll see some kids with some Unitarian Universalist trading cards out there, and we can learn a little bit more about our history together as well. As we close our service, would you please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 89, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. We'll stay standing. May the light of your inner truth shine, and may you share it with someone. May you acknowledge the places where you are uncomfortable and know that that is okay too, and let's talk about it. And will you acknowledge the places where you are joyful and let's feel it together. And may we go in the world, in whatever word you want to call it, community, love, saviors, sanctuary, and let us be that love for each other. Blessed be, and amen.